This is Jay Sekulow. We've got an update on the Saeed matter. UN report condemning Iran.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
After facing persecution in 2005 for converting to Christianity, Pastor Sayed Abedini fled Iran for America. 1 year ago, Abedini returned to Iran to visit his family and build an orphanage. He was arrested. Last month, Abedini was sentenced to 8 years in prison for starting Christian host churches in Iran. He was accused by the judge of being a national security threat.
So they beat you and beat you and beat you, and it's very difficult to describe that pain. Basically, I call it distilled pain. It's a place in which you're reduced to something you don't even understand what it is. You forget your name, you forget who you are, you forget how to count, they just scream at you.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Nagme, you know, does any part of you say, you know, just give them what they want, if that will allow you to be released and to come home to our family?
My husband, when I read that part that he's put under pressure but he will never deny Christ, I was very encouraged. That's his character. He stands up for what he believes, and he won't back down. The easy route would be to say, okay, I will do as you say, and I'll get to go home and see my kids and my wife. But I'm proud of him for not doing that and standing up for what he believes it's right. And I pray and I ask everyone to stand up with him for his basic human right of religious freedom for being a Christian.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Everybody, welcome to the broadcast. We're taking your calls today at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We're talking about two things, both involving the Middle East. We've got an update on Pastor Saeed's case. And also, how about this one? Senator Kerry saying, Egypt, with all your unrest, with your economic collapse, with your crackdown on the Coptic Christian Church, with your abuse of human rights and fundamental religious freedom, we're going to give you a reward of an immediate $250 million. That's the reward the United States of America, our government, is giving to Egypt, led by Mohamed Morsi from the Muslim Brotherhood. We're going to borrow more money from China to give $250 million to Egypt. Folks, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110 as we talk about all of this situation in the Middle East. But also, we have a team in Geneva tomorrow for what's called an intervention at the Human Rights Council at the United Nations. We are right now at 399,855 signatures demanding the release of Saeed Abedini, the pastor. We're going to want to get to over 400,000 before we have that meeting. We're very close. We're going to encourage you to do that. Let me first go to Than, though. We've got some very important news, and that is the UN has put in its report from the Special Human Rights Rapporteur on Iran the Abedini case. That's the good news. We're concerned, though, that the State Department may do nothing.
Yeah, this is the report from Ahmed Shahid. He's the Special Rapporteur for Human Rights in Iran. That is the debate that we're going to be engaging, Jay, on March 11th. We're going to be there as the ECLJ speaking out for Pastor Saeed. My concern is this report is coming from the Special Rapporteur. We have no assurance, Jay, that our State Department is going to show up for our citizen to make his case before that council. So you've got this Special Rapporteur ahead of the United States State Department. We've been patient with Secretary Kerry, Jay. I have to tell you, my patience is running out. He needs to be making this case on March 11th.
David, you've been writing about this $250 million going to Egypt, Secretary of State Kerry giving it to them, despite the fact that they've got all these abuses going on and nothing on Saeed Abedini, a U.S. citizen.
It's unbelievable. Now, let's remember that back when the Muslim Brotherhood came into power, they promised reforms, they promised democracy, and they delivered repression. Now we're giving them $250 million on the basis of more promises.
Yeah, and this is $250 million in emergency relief. That's not just the $1.5 billion. That's a $250 million right now for being bad actors. But, folks, we are going to the U.N. First hearing is tomorrow. Let's get to 400,000 signatures. Go to ACLJ.org. Sign on that petition for Saeed Abedini. We're at 399,885, close to 400,000. Or call us at 1-877-989-2255. Last day for you to do it before that hearing tomorrow. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Take a stand now. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Back with more in a moment.
The situation for American pastor Saeed Abedini is getting worse. This U.S. citizen is being beaten, tortured, and subjected to psychological abuse as he serves 8 years in one of Iran's most brutal and deadly prisons. Pastor Saeed is facing a life-threatening prison sentence simply because of his Christian faith. He's no longer permitted to call his wife and two young children who live in the U.S. His family does not know when or even if they will ever hear his voice again. The ACLJ continues to work here at home and around the world to secure his freedom. We continue to pressure the U.S. government, the United Nations, and the European Union. But we need to hear from you. There's power in numbers, and that's why your voice is so important. Sign on to our petition now to save Pastor Saeed. Time is critical. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from literally from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on, a lot of great things happening, and a huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast. 399,874 of you have said yes to Saeed Abedini's petition. We've got our first hearing at the United Nations tomorrow. I want to be at 400,000, and we are 126 away from getting there, folks. If you've not signed this petition, last day for you to do it and to be there for the UN tomorrow. So go to aclj.org. That's a really easy way to do this, aclj.org, or you call us at 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. I am happy to report that the UN's Human Rights Rapporteur for Iran has, in fact, included a discussion on Christian persecution in Iran, and specifically a source close to the case. So this is a quote from their actual report. Iranian authorities have detained Saeed Abedini, a Protestant Christian minister. They go through the whole, basically, the background of the case. The fact that it's in the UN report is a big deal. But what's more important is that we have 400,000 of you standing with us tomorrow at the UN for phase one of this. Our European Center for Law and Justice chief counsel there, our senior counsel, Gregor Popinic, is going to make the presentation. Again, we want to be at 400,000. So if you can go to aclj.org or call us at 877-989-2255, that will be great. We'll get to that number. So they're acute. Now that it's in the report, this is the irony of this. It's in the United Nations report about Saeed Abedini. What do the Iranians say? Well, of course it is, because the reporter, the Special Human Rights Rapporteur, Ahmed Shahid, only contacts anti-revolution elements instead of Iranian authorities to receive information and to prepare his reports and acts in harmony with the Americans when compiling the reports. They say he's an agent of the United States. Later they go on to say he is basically acting for the Zionist regime. Now, what does Israel have to do with any of this? That's beyond me, but nevertheless, that's what the Iranians are saying. So we're going to fight on this issue, folks. We're going to be at the UN tomorrow. We're not just talking about it. We're going to be there, by the way, in the studio tomorrow in our media center. Nagme, that's Saeed Abedini's wife, will be with us, so you're going to want to stay tuned to that. If you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Roger. He's calling out of New York. Hi, Roger.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Okay, I'm going at this for a moment just from the money angle. Right. I mean, we've got where the president is pleading sequester, saying, I can't send this aircraft carrier to the Persian Gulf because we don't have enough money. And then it's like we look in Arizona. They released hundreds of illegal immigrants who are pending deportation, saying, oh, we don't have the money to hold them. We
right.
can't let them free. Now, where are they getting the money to send all this off to Egypt?
They're getting it from you.
feel it's right.
They're borrowing it from China and having you pay it back, you being the American taxpayer. That's what they're doing. That's what the State Department's doing. And why Secretary of State Kerry decided that yesterday was the day to say to the Muslim Brotherhood, here's the dough, here's the money, is beyond me. I'm not shocked at this, David, but it does draw the point of why are we propping up this regime that's so hostile, calling, you know, is Jews pigs, descendants of apes. They're slaughtering Coptic Christians there, and we're giving them money.
You know, the Obama administration just won't see reality. It hasn't seen reality since 2009, and it's almost as if they believe whatever the Muslim Brotherhood says. I mean, Secretary of State Kerry in the meeting says he had a frank discussion. Well, you know, that's the least thing we should be having with the Muslim Brotherhood right now. Right now, we should be depriving them of aid because their rule is fragile. They could fall, yeah, and we could have a real allied
regime.
But don't
worry, we're propping them up. I mean, you know, this is so absurd. It's beyond the pale. And, Than, you've got some personal contact on this. We've got the sequester that's gone into effect, which for most people is not going to have a huge impact. But, we've got all this $85 billion over the next during the next two taxable years. And now we're saying, but we've got money to give to. By the way, if you look at $85 billion, $250 million is a lot of money. You want to save some money? Lop off $2 billion of it right there. I'll get you down to $83 billion just by doing this. Don't give money to the Muslim Brotherhood. You want to save another, say, $1 billion? Don't give money to the Palestinian Authority, who's, we don't even know what they're doing. You want to save another, half a billion dollars? I got it down under 80 already. Don't give the money to Planned Parenthood. But Than, this whole approach is really outrageous while we have an American citizen sitting in jail in Iran being beaten.
Yeah, Roger's absolutely right. He points out that we're in a situation where we have to make these cuts. And, honestly, Jay, there are probably more that need to be made. But look at the prioritization of spending that's happening. We're sending $250 million to Egypt while we are cutting our Defense Department. I actually had someone that I was having dinner with last night, our family. He works at the Pentagon. He's one of our very important officials there at the Pentagon. He is losing 20% of his pay and 20% of his time at the Pentagon because of the sequester. So, I'm not arguing that we certainly aren't a bad budget situation, but that's not the place to cut. We should be cutting this aid that we're sending to Egypt. The prioritization is just backwards.
I want to read for you this quote from Secretary of State Kerry, because it's pretty unbelievable. This is in Egypt. In all my meetings, I conveyed a simple but serious message. The brave Egyptians who stood vigilant to Harrier Square did not risk their lives to see that opportunity for a bright future squandered. I encourage President Morsi to implement the homegrown reforms that will help his country secure an IMF agreement, that's the International Monetary Fund, put Egypt on the path to establishing a firm economic foundation, and allow it to chart its own course. He agreed and said he plans to move quickly to do so. I just want to focus on a second, folks, over there. Chart your own course? That's like the Titanic. I mean, charting your own course? This is a regime that is completely out of control. And we're saying, don't worry, David French, they're going to chart their own course. Where's that course going to leave? You served over in the Middle East in the military. That course is a disaster.
This is not a mystery what the course the Muslim Brotherhood wants.
Are you acting like we're shocked at this?
I mean, jihad is our way. That is what the Muslim Brotherhood says. I mean, and so here we're giving them $250 million. And just to put an exclamation point on what Than said earlier, I just got back from military service this weekend. As you know, I'm in the reserves. And we're talking about, are we going to even have training funds past March? Are we even going to have training funds past March? Oh, Muslim Brotherhood, here's $250 million.
Which tells you exactly where the administration's priority are. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. 800-684-3110. Let me also say, folks, we've got a team in Geneva right now at the United Nations. On behalf of Pastor Saeed Abedini, we were successful in getting his case in the UN report. As you can imagine, the Iranian regime, not too happy about that. They're saying it's a biased report, Zionist regimes based on American propaganda. They talk about lawyers giving information. You know who those lawyers are, folks? That's us, by the way. They're not too happy, but that's a good thing that they're not happy. Here's where we're at. I am looking at it right now, and we are about 60 away from crossing 400,000 signatures. So let me encourage you to do this, folks, right now. We're going to be at the UN tomorrow, and I want to have Greg Gore be able to say we have over 400,000 people from the United States standing with our American citizen, Pastor Saeed Abedini. You go to ACLJ.org right now. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. We are literally 61 away. 61 away We're actually, about right, away from making this, folks. 61 away, and we're going to be over 400,000 signatures. Go to aclj.org or call us right now at 1-877-989-2255. Mary Ellen's calling on line two from Illinois. Hi, Mary Ellen.
Hi, Jay. Great work. I just want to ask, well, two related questions. Is that $250 million extra, and can the House block it?
Okay, let's talk about the extra. Now, Than, is that out of the – have we just done an emergency release of the $1.5 billion, or is this an additional?
This is on top of the $1.5 billion they get each year.
I was afraid you were going to say – David and I are shaking heads. I was hoping you – actually, it would have been terrible anyways. I was hoping you were going to say, no, that's part of this, which is still bad, but, you know – so this is in addition to it.
Yeah, and this is going back to, if you remember last year, Jay, there was another $1 billion aid package the administration wanted to send. Congressman Kay Granger did great work, stood in front of that, put a hold on it, and said that first $455 million that was set to go out the door, she blocked it. This is the administration circling back to that, Jay, and they are basically railroading Congress on this. Congress has not gotten out of the way. That hold still exists, and President Obama is saying, you know what, I don't care, I'm going to send it anyway.
So that what can Congress do at that point as far as blocking it, then, if any?
From going out the door, not a whole lot, but here's what they should definitely do. When they fund next year's foreign aid, they should pull this funding from it. I think they should zero it out altogether, but if the president's going to run over them, he should take that money out. They should take that money out of next year's budget.
All right, folks, we're going to be taking more of your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. I'm going to be on Megyn Kelly's broadcast this afternoon at about 2:30 Eastern time, and supposed to be on Hannity tomorrow night, so you'll want to stay tuned for that. David, let me ask you quickly here, looking at the sequester, the Muslim Brotherhood, trying to connect the dots here, what are we dealing with? I mean, what do we have going on here?
What we have going on here is a colossal foreign policy breakdown. Even as we have said, we're not going to send an aircraft carrier to the Persian Gulf, we are going to send $250 million to the Muslim Brotherhood, which costs more than the cost of sending that aircraft carrier. I mean, it's astonishing. It's astonishing.
Folks, so it directly impacts our ability to defend ourselves here. And this is, again, I think just a policy that I don't think it's unintentional. I think that's exactly what the president wants to have happen. ACLJ.org to stand with that pastor. Let's cross 400,000 when we come back from the break. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. I need 27 of you. That's it to cross 400,000. ACLJ.org. We're 1-877-989-2255. We're in Geneva tomorrow. You can be with us. ACLJ.org. Stand with Pastor Saeed. We're 1-877-989-2255. Back with your calls in a moment.
The release of Pastor Youssef Nardakhani would not have happened without the tremendous coverage from the Christian media and from global news networks like Fox News. Media coverage kept the spotlight on Pastor Youssef, and while the ACLJ is grateful to the millions of people who stood with us in the fight to free Pastor Youssef, the ACLJ is also grateful for the news organizations that kept the focus on this story, including Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, who interviewed ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow about the victory.
I want to thank you and Fox News for covering this because it gave it a global interest.
The American Center for Law and Justice is specifically dedicated to the ideal that religious freedom and freedom of speech are inalienable, God-given rights. And you stood up for those principles successfully here. Jay, good for you.
With Pastor Youssef now free, the ACLJ continues its work, now focusing on the persecution of other Christians whose rights, whose freedoms are being threatened. Learn more about the work of the ACLJ online, aclj.org. The situation for American pastor Saeed Abedini is getting worse. This U.S. citizen is being beaten, tortured, and subjected to psychological abuse as he serves 8 years in one of Iran's most brutal and deadly prisons. Pastor Saeed is facing a life-threatening prison sentence simply because of his Christian faith. He's no longer permitted to call his wife and two young children who live in the U.S. His family does not know when or even if they will ever hear his voice again. The ACLJ continues to work here at home and around the world to secure his freedom. We continue to pressure the U.S. government, the United Nations, and the European Union. But we need to hear from you. There's power in numbers, and that's why your voice is so important. Sign on to our petition now to save Pastor Saeed. Time is critical. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255.
989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. 400,003. So we are across the 400,000 threshold, which is fantastic, folks. Thank you to all of you that have participated. Listen, we'd like to keep it going, obviously, for two reasons. One is make sure we don't have duplication in the process. Some of you may have mailed things in, signed things in, so we always want about a 5% buffer. But I want to say thank you for helping us cross 400,000 signatures. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255 if you haven't signed it yet. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Let's go to Nancy calling from New York on line four. Hi, Nancy.
Hello, Jay.
Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, and I sat here waiting. I just got more and more upset. I work with retarded people, developmentally disabled. And our program is going to be cut back probably because of the sequester. And people are going to lose their jobs. And I don't understand how you send something to somebody who hates you. These people hate us.
Yeah, I know. I mean, this is the unbelievable conundrum that the situation is, or it's actually just the reality of what we're dealing with. Let me go Than, just from a Washington standpoint, David and I were, and we all three of us were talking during the break there about maybe taking some action even on Wednesday to say, listen, you know, if we're going to sequester things, let's sequester the Muslim Brotherhood. Let's stop that money. $1.5 billion, by the way, would be a nice little dent. I mean, I came up with $5 billion right away so that you don't have programs like this being impacted. What's the mood or tenor, I guess I should say, Than, in D.C. right now?
Well, here's the reality. I mean, we pay these folks to be the board director for the United States taxpayer, Jay. They are supposed to allocate the federal budget in a way that makes sense for the American people. They have clearly failed to do that. Now, you know, Nancy's right. There is going to be pain in these cuts. The cuts have to happen. But, Jay, the evidence that we're sending $250 million to Egypt while people like Nancy are losing their job is evidence that the Congress and the president have not done their job. Unfortunately, there's very little appetite for them to stand up and say, okay, we'll cut here. So I think you're absolutely right. We have to be the ones that say, you've got to come back, you've got to do your job, and you've got to make sure that we quit wasting on things like Egypt aid when people like Nancy are losing their jobs.
So, David, you're thinking tomorrow or Wednesday, because we've got Nagme with us tomorrow. We want to be talking about his case, Pastor Saeed's case. But on Wednesday, what approach are we thinking about taking here?
Well, I think it's a pretty simple message. I mean, here we have the executive branch of the United States government is deciding on its own to send us $250 million, and yet claiming its hands are completely tied as it slashes job after job here at home. Well, you know, we can sequester the Muslim Brotherhood. There is nothing that requires us to spend that money on the Muslim Brotherhood. And, you know, as Congress and as the president are working towards a solution on this, why are we talking about not sending an aircraft carrier, something that Bob Woodward described as, I believe, madness? When tensions are heightening with Iran, we're not sending an aircraft carrier, but we are sending $250 million to the Muslim Brotherhood. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't pass the common sense test.
It does not. And the unfortunate aspect of it is, but this is the reality that we're dealing with. And we're going to look at ways, folks. Give us 48 hours here to figure out a game plan. We'll have a game plan in place by Wednesday on how you can get involved, and we could at least bring some sanity to what is not a sane situation right now. 1-800-684-3110 is our number. Remember, we're here for another half hour. If you're listening to us on SiriusXM, you get the full hour of Jay Sekulow Live. If not, you just go to aclj.org, and you can listen to it there. We stream it live. Again, 1-800-684-3110. Matt is calling. He's on the line 6. Hi, Matt.
Howdy. I'm just wondering, like, as far as the $250 million, why our government is doing things like that and cutting programs, you know, here versus why not?
I think the reality is that when you look at the situation, this is an extension of the president's idea that he can kind of woo the Muslim world, that he can basically appease the Muslim world into some kind of cooperative venture. It just doesn't work. I mean, that's the real problem with it. It's not practical. It never has worked in U.S. history. It hasn't worked in world history. You cannot appease these organizations. And when you look at China having tight control with Iran, we're borrowing money from China and we're having to pay it back. But before we do that, we're sending it over to Egypt. You know, Than just said, this is an addition. $250 million is an addition to the tanks, an addition to the aircrafts, an addition to the $1.5 billion in aid. It's an addition to all that, folks. So we're going to approach a $2 billion aid package while we're cutting ourselves back $85 million because of the sequester. I mean, think about that for a moment, and how does that make you feel about the way your government's running? But this is the reality of what we live in right now, David, and this is the fight we've got. And it's going to be serious, folks. I mean, we're going to have to take some serious direct action here. We're formulating that game plan literally as we speak.
Well, you know, you recall the Obama press conference where he gathered all those police officers and firefighters behind him and said, you know, these people are going to lose their jobs. I'd like for him to call those guys back and look at him and say, you know what? Instead of giving money to you guys, I'm giving money to the Muslim Brotherhood. And let's not forget, it wasn't even a week ago that the news came out that the Muslim Brotherhood denied us access to a Benghazi terror suspect.
Yeah, let's reiterate that, folks. Listen to this again, because this is pretty unbelievable.
It was about a week ago we heard news that the Muslim Brotherhood denied us access to a terror suspect suspected in these Benghazi attacks. They deny us access, and what do? We give them $250 million as a reward. Have we taken leave of our senses?
So, Than, what happens in Washington, and what can be done here? Because this is, as David said, we have taken leave of our senses. This is not only is not practical, it's really outrageous. But what's the next real thing here?
Well, the president's out of line, but I think the American people, our listeners, have to stand up and demand that Congress put him back in line. Here's the thing. David pointed out the first fact here, denying access to those to that suspect. But listen, the facts on the ground in Egypt, Jay, I mean, they've adopted a Sharia constitution. They're walking away from the peace treaty with Israel. So the president of the United States needs to be told that all of the evidence says that Egypt is no longer an ally, and he cannot send them money. Now, if he's going to do this, it's got to be the Congress at the behest of the American people that sort of push him back in line.
By the way, I've got an editorial, an op-ed that is now on foxnews.com. If you go to their, it's actually, if you go to the homepage, it's on the homepage, if you scroll towards the bottom. But I encourage you to do that. It's an op-ed on this very situation, and we encourage you to do that. We'll have a link at aclj.org as well. So, but certainly on the opinion page, it's right there, and we encourage you to take a look at it. What does it mean? ACLJ.org will also have a link to it, but also if you go to Fox News opinion page, it is right there as well. And it's on the homepage also, I should say. Folks, we're going to be taking more of your calls when we come back from the break here, so stay on the line, those of you that aren't. If you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110 is the number. That's 800-684-3110. Let me grab Phil very quickly. Line one, Phil, quickly, please.
Hello, Johnny.
Yes, sir. Good.
Hey, I was just sort of going to comment. I was telling your screener, I'm a 21-year Army retiree. I served.
Thanks for your service.
Served both in Vietnam and in Desert Storm. And sometimes it actually makes me ashamed to be.
Don't be ashamed to be an American. You served our country well. You performed valiantly for the United States of America. We're not ashamed of America. We're disappointed in policies. We're going to get those policies corrected. Folks, if you haven't signed on to the Saeed Abedini petition, do so right now at aclj.org. We're slightly over 400,000, which is great. Or call us at 1-877-989-2255. That's aclj.org. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Check out my op-ed on foxnews.com as well. Back with more in just a moment.
The ACLJ continues to work here at home and around the world to secure his freedom. We continue to pressure the U.S. government, the United Nations, and the European Union. But we need to hear from you. There's power in numbers, and that's why your voice is so important. Sign on to our petition now to save Pastor Saeed. Time is critical. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Will Haynes here. We got at 400,106, so we clearly crossed the 400,000 threshold. I'd like to have a little bit of a cushion going into the hearing tomorrow, just because there may be some duplication. We're going to go through that process. So encourage you to keep joining us, ACLJ.org, excuse me, or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org, or 1-877-989-2255. Than is with us in Washington, D.C. David French is here with me in our studios and our media center. Tomorrow we're going to have Nagmeh Abedini on the radio broadcast. You're going to want to really listen to this one. All right, we're going right back to the phones at 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to James on line 5. Hi, James.
Yeah, I would like to say that we shouldn't be giving Egypt money at any time. But when we're facing cuts to our military and the security measures here within the United States, we definitely shouldn't be giving them money. It's completely ridiculous to give them money. And on top of that, you should not
also understand they're not a stable regime. This is not an – I mean, remember the president's statement? I think we have it, where he was asked whether Egypt was an ally of the United States. Listen, this is the president's asked the question. These are in his own words.
Would you consider the current Egyptian regime an ally of the United States?
I don't think that we would consider them an ally.
I mean, I'm not so sure I would consider them an ally. Then why are we giving them this money, David? I mean, we're not talking about a little bit of money. This is, so you're clear. I want Than to say this first. Than, this $250 million is in addition to what has already been that $1.5 billion allocation.
It's on top of $1.5 million that they get every year. And, Jay, it's really even worse than that, because of that $1.5 million, every year, $1.3 of that is in the form of military aid. So what they do, they get sort of a military menu, as I describe it, and they say, hey, okay, what out of this list do you want to have? And they pick things like F-16s and M1, A1 Abrams. And then we not only give it to them, Jay, we charge the American taxpayers to build it. Then we send it to them. Then we send our personnel over there to train them. And we do it without any assurance that down the road, Mohamed Morsi won't use it against us. The president just doesn't understand what an ally and an enemy is, and he's using the U.S. taxpayer to facilitate that illusion.
Well, unfortunately, what we've got, and I think this is the reality, is an administration that has got this. They're convinced, David, that this is the way to go. That's the tragic part of all this.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And your op-ed on Fox News lays out the case against the Muslim Brotherhood. I mean, there's so many things, it's tough to list them all. I mean, let's not forget, it was just last fall that their security forces stood aside, allowed a radical mob to storm our embassy, our American diplomatic soil, pull down the U.S. flag, and put up the black flag of jihad. That was their responsibility to protect our embassy, and they failed. How are
they not getting access to the Benghazi people that are involved with Benghazi? Figure that out, folks, for a minute. Why are we doing this? We're not getting access to get information about who killed our ambassador, and we're giving them a reward for not cooperating. Than, I want you to go to Washington. Well, you're in Washington, but I want you on the Hill talking to members of Congress. This is nonsensical. It makes no sense whatever. It is nonsense.
Well, the appeasement approach isn't working. I mean, the president has had 4 years to try this, Jay. He outlined it in his speech at Cairo. He's been implementing it for 4 years. And what do we have? We have the situation getting worse in places all across the Middle East. It's time that he realized that it's peace through strength that worked, not appeasement. He hasn't realized it yet. It's going to take members of Congress, frankly, to force him there.
Well, folks, we're going to fight back on all these fronts, and I encourage you to talk with us. We want to talk to you on air at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. I'm going to be on Fox News this afternoon on Megyn Kelly's broadcast, on Hannity tomorrow night, so we'll want to talk about that. And again, by Wednesday, David French is going to have up the plan on how we're going to handle this. We need to talk about Nagmeh tomorrow on the broadcast. Obviously, she'll be in our studio. But by Wednesday, we're going to have the plan in place. ACLJ.org to stand with Pastor Saeed Abedini and our team in Geneva tomorrow, or ACLJ.org, or 1-877-989-2255. We have crossed over 400,000 signatures. ACLJ.org, or 1-877-989-2255. Internally, folks, if that pastor stays in jail, I want 1 million people speaking out on this. ACLJ.org, or 877-989-2255.
The situation for American pastor Saeed Abedini is getting worse. This U.S. citizen is being beaten, tortured, and subjected to psychological abuse as he serves 8 years in one of Iran's most brutal and deadly prisons. Pastor Saeed is facing a life-threatening prison sentence simply because of his Christian faith. He's no longer permitted to call his wife and two young children who live in the U.S. His family does not know when or even if they will ever hear his voice again. The ACLJ continues to work here at home and around the world to secure his freedom. We continue to pressure the U.S. government, the United Nations, and the European Union. But we need to hear from you. There's power in numbers, and that's why your voice is so important. Sign on to our petition now to save Pastor Saeed. Time is critical. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from literally from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on, a lot of great things happening, and a huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at aclj.org.
Yes, everyone, 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. That's 800-684-3110. You know, we've been fighting over that $1.5 billion of aid going to Egypt for a long time. And the fact of the matter is, David just pointed this out. If we were not fighting, we were talking about this during the break, if we were not fighting, that $1.5 billion would be released. And so far, Than, no movement there, right?
No movement on the $1 billion above the $1.5 billion, Jay. So David's point needs to be heeded here, because I get discouraged in these fights. I think that comes across, that comes over the air. Sometimes we get defeated. Listen, you have to engage these fights, because this would be $250 million on top of another billion had we not been fighting all the way. So it's still worth engaging that effort.
Bottom line, had we not been fighting this, the Muslim Brotherhood would be infinitely stronger right now than it is. It is weak right now, and one of the reasons why it is weak is because people spoke up, and they're $1 billion poorer than they would be. That's what makes this move by Secretary of State Kerry so galling, is the Muslim Brotherhood's on the ropes. And they're on the ropes because, in large part because Americans have spoken up, and he's thrown them a lifeline, and we've got to stop it.
All right, Irene is calling from Florida. She's on line three. Hi, Irene.
Hi, Jay. Thank God for you and the people, the gentlemen who are with you.
Thank you.
We're fighting, and I encourage, if you mind, don't mind me saying so, everyone who's listening to get at least 20, commit themselves to calling 20 people to tell them all this so that they can sign petitions and call Congress, because a lot of Americans don't speak up because they think their voice doesn't count. But we know it does. Another thing is, how can this go on? We've seen different countries. We've seen Hitler. We've seen all kinds of things. How could? Now, maybe we're not.
You wonder how can it happen? However, it is happening, but I need to say a huge thank you here. We have crossed over 400,000 signatures, 400,154 signatures for Saeed Abedini. His wife's going to be here tomorrow. She's actually with some of our lawyers right now. 400,000 of you have stood with us, which, David, I think. And then let's think back here. I think this is the largest we've ever had in our history of people standing on an issue. 400,000. I'm trying to think, even during the Obamacare stuff, I don't think it reached 400,000.
No.
It's the biggest. And I just want to say this, Jay, that the reason it's so important, we're going to see this on two occasions over the next week. I mean, we're going to have the ECLJ on behalf of 400,000 of our members at the United Nations, at the Human Rights Council. And it feels a little bit like we're doing the State Department's job on this, because they have not committed to bringing Pastor Saeed's case. Jay, if 400,000 people weren't with us, we wouldn't have the resources to be at the United Nations, to be at the Human Rights Council. But because that we have all of our members standing with us, we will be there. So if the U.S. State Department doesn't do their job, we'll stand in their place.
Well, and we are doing that. And David, I got to say this again to our members. Thank you. I mean, we could not have. There is no way to do this without you. And 400,000 of you speaking out is, I mean, just phenomenal. I mean, just huge. And we're hitting this issue head on. I just got word that the op-ed we've done is now trending as number one on the Fox News website. And that's this whole situation with the Muslim Brotherhood. So that's encouraging. But, David, you know, we've got – this has been a huge response from our members, and it does have a big impact. But the battle is far from over here for Pastor Saeed. I mean, we're just at the UN tomorrow. We've got a hearing tomorrow, one on the 11th. But there's a lot of work to be done here.
You know, our Department of State may be getting good at leaving Americans behind, but we're not going to leave this American behind. And we have been – we've got to 400,000 for one very good reason. Our members have gone to work sharing this petition, telling the story about Pastor Saeed. I ran into someone at a restaurant just that last weekend, and he was talking to me about Pastor Saeed. And I said, yeah, you know, we're the ones behind starting all of this. And he was amazed, just amazed at the reach. He'd heard about it at church, and it's because our members have been out there doing incredible work.
You really have. And again, a huge thank you to all of you that have participated. If you haven't, go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org, or call us at 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Larry's calling from Washington State on line two. And by the way, if you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. If you're listening on Sirius XM or over the internet, just give us a call at 800-684-3110. Larry, you're on the air.
Appreciate all your efforts.
Thanks.
Hey, 5 years ago, I was a member of a political exchange sponsored through the United States Department of State, sent to the region to help foster relationships and learn understanding with our partners and allies over in Egypt. And what I can tell you is I met with political leaders up and down the food chain, and we met with all of the different political parties, and they disagree on little things from here to there, nuts and bolts things. But the one thing that unified every single political party that we met with was they wanted to forewarn us that the Muslim Brotherhood meant us harm. And they were approaching a situation where the Muslim Brotherhood may be able to get traction and seek power within the Egyptian government, and they wanted to forewarn us. And look what we're doing now. All of the people that were once our allies, these are people that feared Iran,
right,
and wanted support to support peace with Israel. These people are now out of power and in hiding and being persecuted, and instead we're funding people that love Iran and hate,
yep,
Israel. It makes no sense.
It does not make any sense. But, Larry, this is the posture and policy of the administration. It is being played out right before our eyes, and it is resulting in havoc in the Middle East. I was just yesterday at an event where I spoke with a number of leading Israeli government officials at the highest levels, and I will tell you the concern level right now is palpable. Let me tell you something else, folks. This is confidentially. I'm not going to give you the great details on this, but we've got Skip Ash, senior counsel for the ACLJ, going from our office in Virginia Beach, Virginia, at Regent University's headquarters, over to our offices in Washington today with a meeting with senior Israeli lawyers on another major issue. So, folks, this is serious stuff, and we are looking at the strategy to implement starting Wednesday on how to deal with this because, David, it's complicated. So we need the 48 hours here to really think through the best approach.
Right. We absolutely have to have the best strategy. I mean, the stakes here could not be higher. I mean, let's look at Mohamed Morsi's two greatest diplomatic initiatives since he's become president of Egypt. One is thawing out Egypt's hostility towards Iran. In other words, better relationships with Iran. Then we saw a couple of weeks ago, what's another priority? Better relationships with Hezbollah.
Yeah, which...
I mean, this is astonishing. So let's give him money. That makes no sense.
All right, so, Than, what is the approach now we take in Washington to deal with this directly? And by the way, folks, if you want to talk to us on air, we're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. What is the direct approach here?
Well, there are two things, Jay. First of all, we've got to call on the president to use the flexibility he has within the sequester to make sure that our defense is taken care of before we go and defend the Muslim Brotherhood or before we go and provide equipment to the Muslim Brotherhood there in Egypt. The second thing is we've got to say to Congress, listen, the sequester may be on the president, but moving forward, you own the purse strings of the U.S. taxpayers. You've got to make sure that you don't get in this situation again. You've got to pass a budget that takes care of the American people and their defense first. So we'll be working on both of those, and it needs to happen simultaneously, really.
All right, we're going to be taking more of your phone calls, folks, as the ACLJ teams in Washington, D.C. or in Geneva at the U.N. are going to work for you on these critically important issues. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We're going to go right back to the phones. Let's go to John, who's calling. If you want to talk to us again on air, folks, we're going to be here for another segment. So 800-684-3110. John, you're on the air.
Jay, how you doing, my
good
friend? Say, I listened to your broadcast on a Christian network.
Yes, sir.
Two questions to follow up. I want to thank you for your work on
Thanks.
Pastor Saeed's benefit.
Thanks.
And my question is it more important to defend, the principles of your network, is it due to your practice of Christianity or your allegiance to American politics?
I don't exactly understand what you're talking about because in Pastor, you just talked about Pastor Saeed, there is unfortunately, there is a political element to it. We were successful, by God's grace, in getting a recognition of Pastor Saeed's plight in the UN document that's going to be admitted to the United Nations Human Rights Council, which, you know, I'm not a huge fan of the Human Rights Council, but the fact that we got Saeed Abedini's case in there is significant. On the other hand, Fan is very worried that we're not going to have mention in our report going on Iran from our own State Department. So, John, I mean, there are political implications to positions, including protecting the life of the pastor. I'm not sure exactly what you're getting at. Does that answer the question you had?
No, it does. It helps me, but
okay.
Think that you're being more of a politician than a Christian. I'm just as a
No. I mean, it's what you know. I'm a lawyer, so you know, I'm not going to. I get what you're saying. We have to address this in the legal framework of what we've got. We've got Coptic Christians being really harmed in Egypt. We don't like the fact that we're also rewarding Egypt with $250 million in addition to the $1.5 billion. So there's political overtones to it, John. That's just kind of the nature of what we do versus some other groups that do great work where it's more just policy. Ours is policy, action, and in our situation, advocacy. I mean, David's our director of digital advocacy. Fan is our director of governmental affairs. That's what we do. I mean, that's the nature of the beast here at the ACLJ, and that's why we're fighting on so many fronts. Folks, we're going to take more of your calls when we come back. Hope that answered your question, John. 1-800-684-3110. Over 400,000 of you standing with Pastor Saeed Abedini, ACLJ.org to add your name, or 877-989-2255. Back with your calls in just a moment.
At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from literally from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on, a lot of great things happening, and a huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at aclj.org. The situation for American pastor Saeed Abedini is getting worse. This U.S. citizen is being beaten, tortured, and subjected to psychological abuse as he serves 8 years in one of Iran's most brutal and deadly prisons. Pastor Saeed is facing a life-threatening prison sentence simply because of his Christian faith. He's no longer permitted to call his wife and two young children who live in the U.S. His family does not know when or even if they will ever hear his voice again. The ACLJ continues to work here at home and around the world to secure his freedom. We continue to pressure the U.S. government, the United Nations, and the European Union. But we need to hear from you.
There's power in numbers, and that's why your voice is so important. Sign on to our petition now to save Pastor Saeed. Time is critical. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
It up.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We are going to be joined tomorrow on our broadcast by Nagme Abedini. This, of course, is the wife of Pastor Saeed Abedini, who is still in that prison in Iran. We did get good news. UN did recognize through the Human Rights Rapporteur, the Special Rapporteur, that this case is one of an injustice going on, and that's good. We don't know if we're going to get the same out of our State Department, but at least we got it out of the United Nations. We're taking your phone calls as well at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. I am here in the studios with David French, Senior Counsel and Director of our Digital Advocacy. Than is in our offices, of course, in Washington, D.C. Let's go to Mike. He's calling on line two. Hi, Mike.
I just have a statement to make and a couple of things. You know, I'm in trouble at work because I've been speaking out about it.
Mike, we lost you there. Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay, we got trouble. Trouble with Mike. Okay. Too bad, too. He was driving on the LIE. That's the Long Island Expressway, and I grew up in Long Island. I was going to ask him what exit he was going on because that's how you determine where you are in Long Island. All right, let's go to Jack, who's calling on line six. Hi, Jack.
Jay?
Yes, sir.
I'm a Christian, and I just want you to know we back you all the way.
Thank you.
We back Israel, and we sign all your petitions whenever we can.
We appreciate that.
And I love what you're doing.
Let me, in fact, get a current number for you right now, Jack. I didn't mean to cut you off there. I'll let you go right back in a minute. I'm going to get the current number of exactly where we are right now with Saeed Abedini. But you go ahead, Jack. I'll have that number in a moment.
Okay.
You're on the air. Go ahead.
I was just wanting to know, you could probably figure out about what it costs each taxpayer pretty close to for and for sending money to, like, the Brotherhood, which we're against.
Oh, if you started cutting back on Obamacare, the Palestinian Authority, Planned Parenthood, Obamacare alone, you're going to save the $85 billion. But it would be interesting to know how much each person is paying for this. But yeah, ask yourself this question, Jack. Why are we in this financial crunch? And David had this little three-part analysis on the sequester, which I thought was kind of helpful. Who started it, what it means, and how it's impacting us. You have this, and you ask yourself, why are we out of money when we're giving money to the bad guys, David?
I mean, these are the choices, and this isn't even disputable. Number one, we know the sequester was the president's idea. We know it's the president's call not to send a carrier to the Gulf.
Of course, he said it was such a bad idea, he couldn't believe anybody would do it.
Right, exactly.
That's why he said it, but it was his idea. Number two?
And number two, it's his decision not to send that extra aircraft carrier to the Persian Gulf at a time when Iran is not cooperating with the International Atomic Energy Agency. And now, number three, it's the president's decision to send the aid to Egypt. The buck stops with him here on all of this, and this is what his priorities are.
So, Than, tell me your action. I know we're going to formulate the actual action plan on Wednesday. What's your immediate kind of assessment of where we are?
I think the action plan is the president has to lead. Listen, he has an obligation. We have to invoke this sequester cut now, but he could do it in a responsible manner. And, Jay, I think all of the evidence that you're laying out, that David is laying out, is that the president actually wants the American people to feel the pain of these cuts because he does not like spending cuts. He wants tax increases. He doesn't want future spending cuts. So our action point is, listen, we know you don't like the cuts, but make them responsible. Don't make them to inflict pain on the American people. That's what we have to do immediately.
All right, folks, we're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Lisa is calling on line one. She's calling out of California. Hi, Lisa. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning. It's morning over here, but I had a thing, too. I'm pretty upset. I'm not anybody, but I've been doing street ministry for many years, and
yep. You
know, one of the things is I don't understand, and I don't want to understand. My heart goes out to Pastor Saeed's wife and his children,
yep.
But they're sending $250 million
yep.
for the Muslim Brotherhood. When the war was going on and our men were over there and they felt like their people were getting tortured. They didn't send us no $250 million.
No, they did not. And David French is a senior counsel and head of our director of our digital media. And David also served as a captain of the United States Army JAG Corps. He, in fact, is still in reserves and was in Iraq. And Lisa brings up a really good point. These are people, you know, you said this about Iran and what they were doing when you were fighting in Iraq, what they've done in Afghanistan. Iran was behind a lot of the stuff aimed at the United States troops.
Oh, absolutely. Iran launched direct attacks against U.S. troops. There was an attack made, ironically enough, just a few weeks before then-Senator Hagel was advocating greater cooperation with Iran. Now he's our Secretary of Defense, where they killed, kidnapped and killed four American soldiers. Those were Iranian al-Quds force that did that. And the Muslim Brotherhood, which is in Egypt, we have to be very clear on this. The Muslim Brotherhood is our enemy. The Muslim Brotherhood's goal is the Islamic domination of the world. Jihad is their way. Dying in the way of Allah is their highest hope. That's their founding documents. We can't have any illusions what these people are about.
They're about no good. I mean, they're bad for the Middle East. They're bad for Israel. I was with Israeli government officials just in the last 24 hours, folks. This is really serious. And then we've got Pastor Saeed Abedini there, and we are worried, of course, our State Department not doing much. Hey, Than, will you describe for everybody, because you've done this before, what's going to happen at the UN tomorrow with that first hearing so people can kind of get a picture of what's going to happen?
Yeah, sure. This is going to be the Human Rights Council. They're going to receive reports on human rights situations around the world, and then all of the countries that are on the council there, Jay, will have a chance to stand up and give a report, highlight specific areas of concern, and then NGOs, such like ourselves, the ECLJ, we can stand up. We can bring specific cases to the forefront. There will be a debate and a discussion on those issues, but here's the reality, Jay. It's a chance for what is supposed to be the highest governing council on human rights issues to hear the most important human rights cases in the world. And frankly, by virtue of the fact that 400,000 people are on our petition, it makes Pastor Saeed's case one of those that should get attention tomorrow. We're going to make sure that it's presented. Hopefully, there will be other countries that will as well. And then down the road on March 11th, when we specifically zero in on the country of Iran, we'll bring it up again. So it's two opportunities for the Human Rights Council.
Let me tell
to
you, that
case.
One on the 11th, folks, we're debating right now. We're going to be sending a team, of course, and by that team may include me. Well, we haven't made that decision yet, but we're looking at every option here. And again, our team will be there tomorrow. So be in prayer for Gregora and our team from the ECLJ as that first presentation is made before the Human Rights Council. Let's try to grab one more call here. Sheila's calling from Florida on line 5. Hi, Sheila. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Thank you. From time to time, you have people calling in, and they're asking, why is Obama doing this? And the answer is, when Barack Obama became president of the United States in 2008, his first foreign trip was to Cairo, where he proclaimed the wonders of Islam and its glorious history and religious tolerance, and he related his own close personal heritage with Islam. He was there, he said, to start a new chapter between Islam and America.
Yep.
Now, my question is, why is he be allowed to do this?
Well, let me play for you some of that, which I think that speech was the critical one as well. I completely agree with you. But let me play for you another portion of that speech, which I think is where the president got the country, our country, off track on this foreign policy, and it's impacting us domestically.
You know, I've said before that one of the great strengths of the United States is, although, as I mentioned, you know, we have a very large Christian population, we do not consider ourselves a Christian nation or a Jewish nation or a Muslim nation. We consider ourselves a nation of citizens.
That statement, by the way, for a constitutional law professor, president of the United States, with all due respect to the president, we're a nation of citizens, so is Nazi Germany. I mean, that's not even a statement. It's undercutting the fundamental distinction of the United States, and that is the Judeo-Christian heritage to which we've come out of. Folks, again, we'll have Nagme on the broadcast tomorrow. If you haven't signed the petition for her husband, we're at the UN tomorrow. Over 400,000 of you have. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255.
The ACLJ continues to work here at home and around the world to secure his freedom. We continue to pressure the U.S. government, the United Nations, and the European Union. But we need to hear from you. There's power in numbers, and that's why your voice is so important. Sign on to our petition now to save Pastor Saeed. Time is critical. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.